Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Watching local football. And so guys like Neil Tovey, Lucas Radebe were my heroes. You know, they played in my position. So from a football perspective, you know, those guys were the guys that I watched out for.
When Lucas went to the UK, Leeds captain, it must have been amazing, hey?
No, he's an absolute legend there. You know, which other South African footballer has got a suite named after him in you know, at the stadium in Leeds? You know, whenever he goes back there, he's just inundated with requests and fans flocking. You know, they won't forget him, the chief. And he certainly put South African football on the map in England and in Europe.
If anybody tries to break down that Matthew Booth statue in Fishhook, there'll be trouble. Like.
No chance of that, man. It's a beautiful place. They would never think of ruining it in that manner.
Stop being so humble. So you played a bit of rugby, but then football. I mean, did you have friends in the area that started kicking the ball around? Because I know if you don't do it at school, you play in the streets. I mean, football, and what turned you on? Why did you like soccer so much?
Well, my dad and all of his brothers, he had three brothers. They were very well known in the valley for not particularly good reasons. They were a bit rough during the day. And they all played football, you know. And so they never put pressure on me to follow in his footsteps. They just simply gave an opportunity, like I do with my sons, to experience as many things as possible. And I think it was just genetics, you know. And the fact that I had a few mates who also played. We had a very good football club, amateur football club in the valley, which is still running. It's not a fly-by-night. It's been there since 1932. They've got over 500 members, which is still going very, very strong. Fishhook AFC. And I often go back there and help out with the coaching. And, you know, obviously it's natural because those were my roots and it's part of my give back.
Fishhook Primary, right?
Yep.
Were you head boy? A prefect at least.
Are you going to hold it against me?
Never, I won't, because I wasn't either.
Yeah, in primary school, I was actually head boy.
I don't believe it or not. What a leader.
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with the sport, not the academics.
Okay.
I played you know, cricket and rugby and whatever, tennis. And then at high school, I think I was also, they used to call us monitors, you know, and I was a monitor. And yeah, I was pretty well behaved. I wasn't an academic of note, but I kept things straight and simple.
But also, I think you were a born leader then, obviously, in that position. A lot of people looked up to you, pardon the phrase. But they respected you already. I mean, you weren't even a big star then or anything like that. But I think because of your parents' discipline or whatever, you had that discipline. And obviously the people around you, the naughty ones, you looked after them and said, come on, guys, and you know, you can't do this and whatever. So were you quite strict as a head boy?
No, not particularly. I didn't throw my weight around. I was a little bit shy, to be honest. I think on the sports field, that's where sort of it was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde scenario, and it still is, you know, when you're on the field, you become a different character. And I think that on the field, I was much more of a leader and trying to inspire, not particularly through words, but by what I did on the sports field.
Okay, then you went to high school. I mean, it was Fishhook High, right? Yeah. So, you know, obviously it wasn't that bad to move from primary to high school, because I know some people move to a different school. You don't know anybody and you get there and you like I did. I was very scared. And were you ever bullied at a high school or primary school?
No, there was, primary school, there was a bit of pressure because I played football, for me to play rugby. And I think there was, I think that happened to a lot of kids, you know, because rugby was the thing, you know, if you played football, it was perhaps considered to be a bit of a morphy sport, you know, if I can say that. And, you know, obviously things have changed, but during that time, rugby was very much pushed. And it still is, you know, particularly at private schools, big schools. But it never became an issue for me. You know, I enjoyed rugby. I enjoyed playing it. So it was never a problem. I played both, you know. But the funny thing about Fishhook was that we actually had a primary school, then a middle school, and then the high school.
Oh, okay.
You know, now they've reverted it again back to, you know, just two tiers. But it was quite an unusual situation at the time. Yeah.
And the school teachers, were they very strict? Did you enjoy going to school? Did you, obviously, you didn't want to wake up in the morning to go to school. A lot of kids still today, you know. Even I say to myself, oh man, I used to hate school. Yeah. But a lot of people love school. So if you go there and you're positive and you go there to study and focus on you know, discipline and stuff like that. But if you're a naughty schoolboy, it's not going to happen. Hey, you're going to hate it.
No, look, it's school's not for everybody. I mean, I've in my career, the people that I've met, some of the club owners, you know, who have made you know, a lot of success for themselves, have dropped out of school. You know, and I'm not saying that is that that's what you should do, but it's not the be all and end all. Certainly, I was never an academic. I wish I'd tried a little bit harder. I would have loved to have been able to qualify to go to university. I did get an exemption, but I wasn't able to go to UCT, which is perhaps what I was really looking forward to experience that kind of varsity lifestyle. As it turned out, I would never have been able to have gone in any case, because football led me down a different path. But yeah, teachers at our school, I mean, I remember a woodwork teacher who had this, what we used to call the fish, and he had it shaped in a, you know, in a fish shape, and he used to beat the hell out of us, you know.
Six of the best.
Yeah, so I stayed very well mannered for fear of getting beaten or going to the principal's office to get caned, you know. Because, of course, back in the day, that's what they used to do.
Corporal punishment. We're going to talk about your kids a little later on because of that discipline and how you're doing that now, you know, from your parents to what you're doing and how you're educating your kids and whatever a little later on. We got more music coming up as well, but in which standard were you when you said, listen, I want to play football. This is going to be my career. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a rock and roll star. You know what? Did you know while you were still at school what you wanted to do?
To be honest with you, when I left matric, I didn't have a clue as to what I was going to be. I didn't have any ambition whatsoever to follow a particular career, and I think you know, I must thank the man above for providing football for me, because I kind of just followed it, you know. I played it, people showed interest, I got offered a job, and I took it.
Where did you work again?
After my
your first job.
Yeah, my very first day after my last exam, which was a history exam in matric, I started working at a sports shop in Woodstock in Cape Town, Mike Sports, and it's subsequently moved to the CBD in Cape Town. It's still going very strong, and I worked there as a sales rep in a sports store, ironically.
But you had to travel to go and practice. Yeah. Where did you travel to? And I know you had to get on the train or the bus or something. I heard that story.
Yeah, no, living in Fishhook with my folks still, I used to get a train into Woodstock. If anybody knows Cape Town, it's probably about 45 minutes an hour. Work full day. Then at about 5 o'clock, get a train from Woodstock into the middle of town, and then into the northern suburbs where we used to train in Belleville. So I used to sit there studying on the train and get home very late at about, you know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. But that was part of the journey, you know, and I had to do that until I became a full professional, which was probably a year and a half, 2 years of doing that. So it was hard graft. It was difficult, but I think most people who have made a success of their careers have gone through that sort of period before. Yeah.
Do you still have your first pair of football shoes somewhere? Boots?
I was probably about 5 years old, and they were a pair of Olympics, I think, that my dad scraped together. So definitely not.
I'm sure they're in a box somewhere in the garage, Matthew.
Long gone.
But do you remember that moment when you got the call to say, we want you to, I think it was an academy, you had to go in there first. It was Ajax. They became Ajax.
It became Ajax, yeah. It was originally Cape Town Spurs, which is They amalgamated with Seven Stars to became to become Ajax Cape Town. So Cape Town Spurs had a long, rich history in Cape Town, which is no longer, unfortunately. And I played in a very for Fishhook in a very prestigious youth tournament called the Bay Hill. It's a metropolitan Bay Hill tournament, which is still going strong. It's an annual event, and it's very prestigious. And that's where I got spotted by Mish Davre, who was the then coach at Cape Town Spurs, and he asked me to come and join the team, and that was that. And I was in my matric year, and there was a lot of debate amongst my folks whether I should go for it. And I ended up, you know, taking the chance and, you know, doing the train journeys and, you know, it was well worth it at the end of the day because I got a very good foundation at that age, which a lot of kids even now don't get the chance.
Right, let's play Toto, Hold the Line. Why this song? Any good memories?
This is my Mrs. Influence. She grew up in Soweto and listened to Phil Collins and Toto, believe it or not. So she's very unusual in her own right.
It's Sonia, hey?
Sonia, yeah.
How long have you been married now?
14 years.
Are you still happy?
Well, we met 14 years ago in 2000, so still, you know, 6-7 years married.
Sorry, is Sonia still happy?
Well, that's a question for her.
It's hard.
She has a smile on her face most of the time. So.
We're going to talk about her and your kids a little later on, but this is for Sonia. Is she listening tonight?
I should hope so, yeah.
I hope so. Toto and Hold the Line.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.